Are you tired of feeling like you have no purpose? You don't know where you're going in life? You feel like maybe you need to find your destiny, you know? Maybe you need to find what you are made for. Well, why not embark on a journey right here on Food for Thought with Pastor Gavin and Pastor Vicky Anslin.
We started a series, was it last week, Born This Way? And what I want you to realize is that when you give your life to Jesus, you are born again. And people are using the terms to born this way to say, you know what, I can't change. But the reality is that you can change by the blood of Jesus. And when you're born again, you're born into a new life. You're born into a whole new existence. And then you're born as a victor. You're born not as a victim, as a victor. You're not born a loser, you're born victorious. Amen. You're not born powerless, you're born powerful. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." I want you to think about that for a second. How do we overcome? You know, people are coming with all sorts of things to tell you, all sorts of plans about how you can have victory. And I really want you to think about that as you're sitting here today. What is it that's going to cause you to win in your life? What is it that's going to cause you to overcome in your life? What is it that's going to cause you to conquer? Now, many people, the moment you say that, what's going to cause you to conquer, they switch off. But you know, I want to tell you, you know what conquest means? It means you take new ground. It means you take ground where you never had ground before. It means you take authority where you never had authority before. What does it mean if you have authority? It means you're in charge. Let me tell you one reason or one thing that many people want authority at a greater level in their lives is in money. All right, when money comes into your bank account, you have authority over that money. You have the authority to save the money, to dispose of the money, to give the money, to spend the money. Amen. All right, a whole lot of guys that want a whole lot of authority over a whole lot of money to enable them to go and buy that special girl some flowers. Amen. Amen. If you don't have any authority over any money, then guess what? You can go pick up some weeds and she's probably not going to go for you. Amen. And that's going to be very, very sad. So now I want you really just to think about that. Authority and conquest is something that we want. And we want to conquer our problems. We want to overcome our problems. We don't want our problems to remain. We don't want to sit when we get to 2030. Or never mind 2020. But when we get to the year 2030, we don't want to be sitting with the same challenges that we're sitting now in 2019. Amen? Amen. And we don't want to go into 2020 with the same problem where we haven't won the World Cup. Amen. In terms of rugby. Amen. Last week we looked at the fact that you're born to conquer. And I really want to ask you as you're sitting here today. You know, the sad thing for me is that so many people are born to conquer, but they don't care about it. That's like the person who's born to breathe, and they don't care about breathing. Now, you know, if you don't want to breathe, be my guest. Don't breathe. Just please don't stop doing a job, because when you drop dead, you're going to stink after a while. We don't want to sort you out. We've had someone die on the church property once. You understand what I'm saying? You got to call the police. It's a whole big thing. So if you're going to stop breathing, just don't do it. Yeah, go over the road, go somewhere else. You understand what I'm saying? That we can just drive past with the rest of the Joburg guards at you, and then the cause of death, he stopped breathing. Why? He chose to. So by all means, you're welcome to stop breathing, but you're going to die. You're going to die. It's going to be over Red Rover. And by all means, you're welcome to stop conquering. But you know how many of you want to conquer. Okay, but the moment we talk about conquest, you think, oh, boring. There's that spiritual word again. Oh, so what? You want to be a loser. You want to lose everything. You want to walk around with a big L on your forehead. Okay, why, if you don't want to conquer, why do you get so upset, young man, when people call you a loser? Amen. Ask the person next to you, why do you get so upset if they call you a loser? All right, so that's what I want you to realize, and I want you to think about right now. Okay, God wants to bless you, He wants you to conquer, you are born to conquer. But I also want to say something else to you. You were born to reproduce. Tell the person next to you, you were born to reproduce. And now some of you are thinking, and I know, there are some of you here today, you are thinking, yo, that's boring. Okay, so now, why do you guys work, and many of you, you're not even married, and you're Christians, you're supposed to be in church, you're supposed to be good people and all that stuff, yet you work so hard to have sex, and you're not even married. Come on, ask the person next to you, say, why? But you got to ask them in a way that makes like you're not doing it, do you understand? So say, why? Let me tell you something. The reason you want to have sex is because you're born to reproduce. Tell the person next to you, say, yes, you were born to reproduce. And one of the things that you find is that, you know, you look at people, especially many youngsters, and they look at these little kids that are running around. You know, sometimes you have the kids and they... And you just like the people are freaked out and you know I just could kill this little snot, you know what I'm saying, and I just could rip the mouth off and the teeth out, and they haven't even got teeth yet, so I just ripped the gums out, and could someone just slap that kid and tell them to shut up, and then you have your own child. And then what happens when someone has their own child? They walk around like we were watching The Lion King yesterday, you understand what I'm saying, like the monkey Rafiki, and they come here, yeah, chick, yeah, chick, 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 funny, yo, 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 yo. Like pussy with me Nintly, you understand? Oh, look at me Nintly. Because now you think everyone thinks about your kid the way you do. No, they don't. They're just like you. They're thinking, yo, me Nintly, she's so loud. She makes so much noise. She's so stubborn. She's just like her father. Oh, me Nintly. I've never seen Chris be so patient with a stubborn person in all my life. You understand what I'm saying? But yo, he's patient with me, Nintle. She rips his beard. She pulls his hair. She slaps him, you know. He says no. But he's like all patient. Like, it's like, no. Why is that? You see, we were born to reproduce. And many times we only discover it when we have a child. And what I want you to realize is that when you move into the spiritual realm, it's exactly the same. You're born to reproduce, but you don't even understand the pleasure that is in that. You don't even understand the satisfaction that is in that until you've actually done it. You know, there's a picture I saw once. It's a little boy and a little girl. They're probably about 6 years of age, and they're lying in a bed together, and then the caption at the bottom says, what's so good about sleeping together? You didn't catch it. You know, what's so good about sleeping together? You understand what I'm saying? Well, the funny thing is, when those same two kids get to 20, you don't have to ask them the same question. You understand? Because I think they understand. But now here's the thing. Jesus says this in John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. I want to just unpack that a little bit. You did not choose me, I chose you. I chose you. So Jesus says, you know what? I've called everyone. Every single one of you were called by Jesus. Let me tell you something further than that. Every single person that is alive on the earth was called by Jesus. And so what you see is that everyone was called, but few are chosen. And you know what the difference is between those that are called and those that are chosen? Those that are chosen are the ones that actually do what Jesus has called them to do. If you're not doing what Jesus called you to do, you're not chosen. And he says, when you're chosen, understand you didn't choose me, I chose you and appointed you. And what has he appointed you first? You have an appointment for what? That you bear fruit. That you bear fruit. Now you think about a fruit tree when we're talking about fruit. A peach tree makes peaches, and in the middle of the peach is a pip. What is the point of the pip to produce other peach trees? In other words, Jesus is saying, you are appointed to reproduce yourself. And then he says, and that your fruit should remain, so that when you reproduce yourself, you don't lose what you've reproduced. you keep it. That your fruit should remain, and that whatever, now listen to this, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. I don't know if you get what that's saying there. When you get on your knees and you pray, what Jesus is saying, if this is how you are, every time you ask of something of the Father, every time you ask for something, you're going to get it. Imagine if you're living a life where every time you pray a prayer, every time you're asking for a miracle, every time you're asking for God to do something supernatural, it happens. Imagine living that kind of a life. I want to tell you that there is no life like that life. And so Jesus says, you're appointed. You're appointed to go and to reproduce. You're anointed for it. In other words, he's given you the power to do it. He's given you the supernatural power to do it. It's the same. Listen, man. You think about when people reproduce people, as in they have a baby. There's nothing that they have to do. It's not, you know that when people reproduce themselves in terms of having a baby, it's not like they have to work hard, and it's not like it's so hard. I haven't heard of anyone saying, yo, it's so hard. It might be hard to go into labor for the wife. You understand what I'm saying? But it's not so hard to reproduce. In fact, people are desperate to reproduce. They will play soft music. The guy will buy flowers. You know, they will go away. They will do all sorts of things to reproduce. You understand what I'm saying? You think about how much energy people put into reproducing. You think about all those outfits that the ladies will buy. And they buy outfits that are going to impress the guys so that they can reproduce. Or the guy, he goes to gym. And, you know, you see a lot of these guys, even on Instagram and Facebook, and they're doing sit-ups, you understand? And they're doing push-ups. And I saw another one now where the guy's doing this. You understand what I'm saying? And then you see some funny ones where the things go wrong, and then, you know, all that sort of stuff. But the thing is, why is the guy doing that? Why does the guy want a six pack and then stand like this and then put a, you know, he puts like a tattoo here so that everyone can see that tattoo? Because he's trying to impress the ladies because he wants to reproduce. Now, I want to tell you, I don't think I have to explain, if I went to Active Children's Church, I'd have to explain why people enjoy sex, you understand? I don't think in this room I have to explain that. Do I? Just checking. Anyone here belong in Children's Church? You understand what I'm saying? But you know, many people are Christians, and they think that sex will give them so much pleasure, but making disciples won't. Yeah, but making disciples makes trouble. Well, let the woman fall pregnant. Making sex will make a lot of trouble too. Just ask Boosie. Ask her and Chris about me mentally. Amen? Hey? You got two versions of your husband now, not one. Amen. A male version of your husband and a female version. Amen? Let me tell you that anything that produces life, because we live in a fallen world and because people are clueless and little kids are clueless and little disciples are clueless, there's a lot of trouble. But I want to give you some realities this morning. In life, anytime you're good at something, people are going to come and they're going to ask you for help. And at first it's fine because you're good at it. You can just do it for them. But then more and more people come and they're asking you for help. Eventually you get to a place where your capacity runs out. And then all of a sudden you can't do it, and now you begin to crash and burn. I promise you now that you will crash and burn. But at the same time, I want you to think about anything that you're useless at. Anything that you can't do, no one ever asked you to do it. You know what? You have plenty capacity. You have a massive amount of capacity. No one asked you ever to do anything. And so you're bored in that area. Once you're good at something, you will get busier and busier until you run out of capacity. And you'll never conquer without the blood of Jesus. And you'll never conquer unless you begin to reproduce yourself. Matthew chapter 13 verse 1 says, On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathered together with him, to him. So he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some came on the stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. But some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground, yielding a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30-fold. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came to him and said, Why do you speak to them in parables? He answered, Because if it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Okay, I want to just stop there for a second. And this is what I want you to realize. You know what he's saying to you? He's saying to you that I only give the truth to disciples. Because if you're not a disciple, your character isn't changing, then the certain powerful truths of the kingdom, I don't want you to know, because I don't want you to get powerful, because you're going to do a whole lot more damage. You see, in that instance, if you don't know, if you don't understand, if I keep you small, you do less damage. And then he goes on and he says this, Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed. Now, God says that if your heart's hard, you're not going to get it. You're not going to understand. And there are truths about the kingdom you're not going to get. And then he goes on a little bit later. In verse 13 he says, Whenever anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed in the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but he endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So Jesus is saying to you, if you have ears, hear. Now obviously everyone here has ears, and I'm pretty sure that all the people that he was speaking to also had ears. I mean, if you look at all the people, I'm looking at you and I can't see anyone that doesn't have two ears. So everyone here has ears. He's saying, if you have ears, yeah. Now, so he's not just talking about physical ears, because it's obvious that you have ears. He's saying, do you have spiritual ears? And I want you all to look at me. You've been destined, you've been designed to reproduce. You've been built by God to reproduce yourself. You've been built by God to make disciples. I want you to understand the two biggest things that God wants to do through your life is to build disciples and to raise children. Those are the two biggest things that God wants to do through your life once you are saved. And he wants to use you to take over the world. Because you see, if you have a heart for God and you take over the world, the people around you will flourish. And if you don't take over the world, here's the other problem. Evil people will take over the world. And we've seen that. We talk about our problem being corruption. But why do we have a problem in terms of corruption? It's because the church isn't ruling, the church isn't leading, and so people with corrupt hearts are in powerful position, and so corruption flourishes. And when corruption flourishes, the people suffer. I want you to realize as you're sitting here that our economy is suffering, and it's suffering big time because of this. You see, what you think as you're sitting there is that all of this stuff is not affected by what we're talking about here with Jesus. And so if the people in the church are not reproducing themselves, then evil men are ruling the nation. And it doesn't matter what nation you're in. And that's why Jesus calls you to reproduce. And I want you to understand something. If you look, he says that the seed that falls in the good soil, let's be honest, the lowest standard is that you'll reproduce 30-fold. I want you to realize, you know something? That God wants every single one of you in a place where you would be standing on a platform here, and that this room is full of people that you're discipling. That is what God wants for every single one of you. What happens is that so many of you are selling your life short. It's the same as people who tell me that I want to get married. You know, any person who tells me that I want to get married because that I'm believing in the institution of marriage, you know what I think? The first words that come to my head are, dumb idiot alert, dumb idiot alert, dumb idiot alert. This is a dumb idiot. This is a real dumb idiot. Now, I don't believe in love. Why? I've been hurt. So one jerk face hurt you, so now you don't believe in love. And the chances are that jerk face or that jerk womanette that hurt you, you understand? The chances are there were people that love you that were warning you not to go with them because they're going to hurt you. And you went, it's us against the world. Then you got hurt. Duh. Amen? How many of you went dating and you thought, these people in the church, they're just trying to stop our fun by telling us we shouldn't date. And then the next thing, you're crying. Because you thought we were idiots. And then when the breakup happened, you found out, no, we're not the idiots. You're the idiot. And then many of you still blamed us. You know how many times I've been blamed when someone broke up with someone and I told them not to date them. And they blame me. Or they blame my wife for the breakup. It's so tiring, Avix. And you know why this happens? This happens because we don't have ears to hear. It takes more than just a human understanding to get a revelation of the Word of God. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us see what God wants us to see from His Word. If you don't have a connection with the Holy Spirit, you're never going to get out of the Word of God what God wants you to see from it. And let me tell you something. The stuff that God wants you to get out of the Word of God is life-giving. And many people have closed their eyes, they've closed their ears, and they've closed their hearts to what God wants them to know. And when you look at those, it talks about the first people that Jesus is talking about in that parable. Those who are of the wayside. And I want you to think about those who are of the wayside. What we find is that those who are of the wayside, they like this concrete over here. They're hard. So either they're sitting here, and while the word is being preached, either they're thinking about something else, they're not there. They've got this glazed view. They're not listening. Or else they're listening. You know what I mean? And they're thinking, you know, yo. I hope Vicky's listening. She's not getting this right. This is a good word for Vicky. Yo. And our cameraman over here, Fiso, you know what I'm saying? Yo. I hope he's getting this. I know he's on camera, but I really hope that he's getting this word because I can see that he needs this word. It's just all over him. Oh Lord, I pray. Oh, this is such an awesome, such a powerful word. Lord, may Sfiso just get it in Jesus' name. Why? No, because I've almost got it all together. I don't need to hear about marriage. I don't need to hear about business. I don't need to hear about sowing seeds. I don't need to hear about anything because, man, I'm telling you, I've got it all together and life's just so much fun. You're telling me I have to go to training for what? I went to a party last night. It was a jewel. It was a cool. You understand what I'm saying? And all of this comes out because people have hardened their hearts towards God. Let me tell you something. None of us have it all together. Every time the word of God is preached, it's for us. It's exactly for us. Some of the guys who are leaders, you sit there and you're taking notes because you're thinking, yo, I'm going to preach this and I'm going to sound good, eh? And that's the only reason you're taking notes. You're taking it, using it as a sermon for someone else. No, there's a sermon for you. But because of pride, your hearts are hard, and so you don't take anything in. Because really, no, look, this training stuff, eh? It's really for other people. You know, these encounters, I really didn't need to go on an encounter. Let me tell you, every single person here needs an encounter with Jesus. You need an encounter with Jesus so badly. In fact, the only time you realize you need an encounter is the day maybe you've got all sorts of trouble in your life. And you decide, you know what, I don't have a better option. The only option that I've got is Almighty God. And then you come to the encounter, maybe because you're desperate. Maybe you're losing your wife. Maybe you're losing your girlfriend. Maybe you're losing your job. And so now you come because all of a sudden now God's good enough due to the fact that that your life's falling apart, which the Bible told you it would if you didn't listen to God in the first place anyway. So now you come desperately and all of a sudden you hear all of the stuff that you never heard before. But meantime, it's always been there. Yeah. Let me tell you something. When people first hear the gospel or they first get the word, they really get it. When that happens, all of a sudden they get this revelation, wow, this is earth-shattering. And I have people that come and they tell me, you know what? I've never heard the word preached like that before. No, it's been preached like that before. Just your heart was open for the first time. And then you know what happens? Then all of a sudden they become the experts. Within 2 weeks, you know how many people within 2 weeks know more than me about the Bible? Because they just got this earth-shattering revelation and all of a sudden it means something to them. Let me tell you why this happens. Because there's a spiritual realm. We spoke about it earlier in the year. There's a spiritual realm. And let me tell you, within that spiritual realm, there's an enemy. And that enemy is working overtime. He's doing everything in his power to make sure that you're too bored to listen to the word. He's doing everything in his power to make sure that you can't hear what's going on. He's doing everything. He's working overtime to make sure that the truths of the gospel are lost on you. And so what happens is the word falls, but your heart is hard. And so a bird comes, which represents the enemy, picks up that seed. And that seed becomes lunch for the enemy. And you lose out. You don't even know that you heard the word. I want you all to look up at me and I really want you to hear this. A person like this is consistently and continually resisting the word. And they're resisting the word because they're never willing to repent. A person like this approaches spiritual things with disdain and skepticism. Their heart is closed to the word because inside they're self-sufficient. Now, I really don't need this. I'm self-sufficient and I'm good enough. I don't need you to tell me that there's some things in my life that need to change because, in fact, how dare you? I can't believe you'd even say something like that to me because I'm good enough. I'm self-righteous, and I will not allow the conviction of the Spirit to soften the soil that is my heart so I can receive a revelation. And so the enemy steals that word from you, and it never ever, listen to me, it never ever has the ability to produce and bear fruit in your life. And then you begin to wonder afterwards why you feel dead. Because there's no life seeds germinating, bearing fruit in your life, therefore you are dead. Now I want you to realize, the word is incredibly powerful. Now when he says that, I'm not saying I'm powerful. What's powerful is the word, and that's what I'm speaking. And the word of God is so incredibly powerful. And I also just want to finish off and say this, that faith is such a powerful tool that you have if you put it in the right place. You put your faith in Almighty God, you're going to see miracles. You put your faith in Almighty God, you're going to see the world change around you. You put your faith in Almighty God, you're going to see people around you change because of what the Lord does through you. You will see your family change. You will see your community change. You will see the nation change through you if you put your faith in Almighty God. I want to promise you as I'm standing here today that faith is the most powerful tool that you have. Because when you put your faith in God, He gives you a supernatural love. When you put your faith in God, you trust Him. You do what He tells you to do. When you put your faith in God, you do what the Word tells you to do, even though it challenges you to the very core. Let me tell you, when you read the Bible, and you take a hold of the stuff, every time you read the Bible, it challenges you to your very core. But it's a good challenge. It's a good challenge because God doesn't just challenge you. You know what He then does? He gives you the power to change. That's what grace is. God gives you the power to change. And so I want to tell you, don't be like the soil which is the wayside. Don't be hard. Because you don't have any idea what you're losing. You don't have any idea what it is that you're missing out on. There's three other types, which is the stony places. The stony places, those are people that fall apart when they have persecution. The thorny places, those are people that are distracted. They've got other interests other than the kingdom of God. And then you get the good soil, which is the soil that reproduces. We'll carry on with that next week. But I just want to leave you with this verse, which we'll go into detail next week as well. It's Luke 13, verse 6 to 9. It says, He also told them this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down so it does not use up the ground." But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone that this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, then after that you can cut it down." All right. God has placed you here. He's placed you here. And you have a time. And He wants you to produce fruit. It's His desire is that you produce fruit. And God's also merciful. But somewhere along the line, your day of reckoning will come. And I want all of you to understand that very strongly right now. And I want you to feel this. The day of reckoning will come. You see, the Bible says that there's a time coming when God is going to hold you to account for what you've done with your life. And He's given you everything that you need in order to get you into heaven. He's given you everything that you need in order to live a fruitful life. And I want to ask you right now, what are you doing with that He's given you? You need to understand, Active Church, there's nothing that you need that you do not have since the day you gave your life to Jesus. But I also want to ask you, as you're sitting here, you know, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's nothing that you need that you have. Everything you need, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, everything that you need, you do not have. It's incredibly important that you understand that. If your heart is hard, and you're the wayside, the enemy snatching the word away from you. The word never means anything to you. You don't understand the power, it's because you're deceived. Then you need to give your heart to Jesus. When you give your heart to Jesus, the Bible says that because Jesus died on the cross for you, and He shed His blood for you, you're made right with the Father. You might be sitting here thinking, all of this word. Now, meantime, you're deceived by the enemy, and you're not right with God. And I want to ask you, as you're sitting here today, do you know that you're right with God? Maybe you've got some other addictions, And you just can't get over them. And you know in your heart of hearts, you know what? It's a symptom of the fact that you're not right with God. That's not the problem. Your pornography, your drinking, your drugs, doing whatever you do, that's not the problem. It's a symptom. You can't fix that. You got to fix up with God. And when you look at the things you're doing, I'm asking you this morning, do you know that you're right with God? What if you were to die today? You know, you might be sitting there, some people say, oh, God forbid, how can you say that? What, it's not possible for you to die today? There's a whole lot of people that got up this morning around the world that did not realize that today's the day they're going to die. If today were your day and you were to face God in judgment tonight, do you know that you'd be right with Him? You can leave the service knowing that you're right with Him. Maybe you're sitting here and you're just thinking, you know I'm not right, because you're thinking of those addictions. And you know, your sin does not need to separate you from God, because Jesus died for you. He shed His blood for you. All of that guilt, all of that that regret, you can get rid of it right now. Because if you come to the altar, there's an exchange that can take place at the cross, where Jesus exchanges the life He lived for the life you've lived. He takes your life, absorbs it with His blood, and then He gives you His life in return. And then you get judged by God based on what Jesus did, not what you did. Maybe you're sitting here and the Lord's been speaking to you. Maybe you've been a bit uncomfortable because you know you've been hard. And when we've spoken this word, you've realized, you know what? I am the wayside. And maybe you haven't liked that and you felt a little bit uncomfortable. Well, let me tell you something. That would be the Holy Spirit speaking to you. But God may also be warning you, if you've been hearing from Him today, that this is the last opportunity you'll ever have to hear from Him. If you don't respond today, you never will. Something will shut down. The enemy will close something down in your mind, and you'll never have this opportunity again. I want you to understand that the spiritual battle is real over your soul. It's very real. And then finally, maybe you're sitting here just thinking, you know, what's the point of it all? Some people, they're thinking, you know, I've messed up with sin. I've done this. I've done that. Maybe the home I grew up in, maybe the family I'm from, whatever. My life can never matter. I can never do anything meaningful. I can never really have a purpose for my life. And Jesus is saying, look, I died to give you a purpose. That's why an encounter is so important, because until we encounter Jesus, we can never know our purpose.
Rapid Trade is passionate about mobility and solutions that make a difference in your business. From mobile sales and sales management to van sales and proof of delivery. For a demo, call Rapid Trade at 011-493-9755. Rapid Trade, ahead of the game.